I'm Ron Platter with your VSiN Action Update. Patrick Mahomes sounds like he's going to be good to go despite injuries to head and toe. The Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow remain three-point favorites to beat Buffalo in the AFC Championship. But most books here in Nevada are adding juice to lay the points, going from the standard 10 cents to as much as 20 and even 25. And one shop took the spread to Kansas City minus 3.5 at even money. The total is mostly 54. Some places adding the hook, light wind, chance of rain before and after the game at Arrowhead. Tomorrow starts with the NFC title game at Green Bay, where the government has issued a winter weather advisory. An inch of snow forecast with light wind for the Packers and Buccaneers tomorrow. That's on top of 2 inches of snow coming tonight. Tampa Bay gets nose tackle Vita Vea back from his broken ankle early this season. But it's Rodgers and Green Bay who are favored by 3.5 or 4 over Brady and the Bucks. The over-under is 52, give or take a half point. In the coaching drama that will never end at Houston, the Texans have interviewed ex-Lions and Colts coach Jim Caldwell and current quarterback Josh McCown for the job. That's on top of Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, Ravens assistant head coach David Culley, and Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. 5 teams in the top 25 got early calls for college basketball at this hour. The American Conference presenting number 11 Creighton at home in Omaha, an 8-point favorite against number 23 Connecticut. Also in the American, 8th-ranked Houston is an 11.5-point favorite visiting Philadelphia to play Temple. In the Big 12, number 9 Kansas is on the road favored by 1 at Oklahoma. In the ACC, unranked Syracuse is a 1.5-point home favorite against number 16 Virginia Tech. And if the Orange wins, prepare then for mainstream media to misstate that as an upset. The Pac-12 has called out Arizona State coach Bobby Hurley for going public and ripping the refs after Thursday's 2-point home court loss to Arizona. It was ticked off about a non-call in the final second. Everything on this NBA Saturday is tonight, including the surprising Golden State Warriors, 8-7 straight up, sitting 11-4. Jazz, 7.5. Also tonight, back-to-back in Philadelphia, playing 7 Detroit. Two teams playing for the second night of the Atlantic Yard, slumping Brooklyn, 7.5 favorite against Miami. Portland is sitting back-to-back in Minnesota. Lakers are laying 9.5 in Chicago. They both got road wins last night, and tonight Dallas is favored by 9, hosting Houston. After Denver rallied to beat Phoenix in overtime last night, they meet again tonight at the Suns' place. The Nuggets are favored by 2.5. UFC 257, Conor McGregor looks for revenge after Dustin Poirier beat him in the first time of their matchup 6 years ago. That was a first-round knockout. McGregor is the minus 320 favorite to win the rematch on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. They're expected into the octagon just before midnight Eastern, which is just before 9 a.m. tomorrow in the Middle East. The hockey day starts in 2 hours when the champs put their perfect record on the line. At 3-0, Tampa Bay is the minus 170 road favorite against 1-2-2 Columbus. The total is 5.5 over. The best game tonight may be at Boston. That's where the 2-1-1 Bruins, minus 150 favorites against the Philadelphia Flyers. Baseball, Kike Hernandez is on his way from Los Angeles to Boston. After playing the last 6 years for the Dodgers, Hernandez is said to have a new deal with the Red Sox. Reports say it's for 2 years and $14 million. Governor Brian Kemp has ordered all flags in Georgia flown at half staff in honor of the late Henry Aaron. Still regarded by legions of fans as the true home run king, Aaron died yesterday at age 86. He's best remembered for breaking Babe Ruth's career record in 1974 amid racial vilification, a story that came more and more to light in the two generations since. Aaron spent his entire career playing in Milwaukee and Atlanta for the Braves and the Bruins. The NFL is moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered and every other sport too. Tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, hockey, and tennis, plus new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah starting Monday at 2 Eastern. Get best bet emails every day, 24/7 video, point spread weekly. Get your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pre-game show. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, along with James Salinas in Denver, Colorado. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Amal. Great to see you again, my friend. How are you? Happy Saturday.
I am doing well, thanks. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Obviously, a terrific matchup in both leagues, but let's start with the news in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes has been cleared from concussion protocol. You've got Sammy Watkins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Le'Veon Bell all listed as questionable in this one. Mahomes also said his toe was feeling better. On the flip side, Ronald Jones is a full participant in practice for the Buccaneers, but Antonio Brown has been ruled out. I'll tell you, to be honest with you, until Antonio Brown got the receptions he needed to get the contract clause for himself financially, I didn't even realize he was on this team.
Yeah, well, on again, off again, and at least from this standpoint here, didn't really come in and serve as a distraction for the team. So I guess that's a bonus, right? But ultimately, I think we've seen, I think Tampa's probably of the four teams this year for me. They've been the team that I've had the hardest read on. It's been because with Tom Brady coming over, it's going to take some time to get acclimated to your new surroundings, new coaching staff, new coordinators, new teammates, and then not having preseason and really a lack of off-season time to gel. I've just had a hard time trying to figure out what is Tampa, at least on the offensive side, what is their identity. Some weeks it's going to be running the football. I was very surprised how much they actually did run at that New Orleans Saints defense last week, which was very successful for them. But ultimately, I think for Tampa here, you know, this is going to be a tough environment to go into. There is going to be some snow. It's not going to be crazy cold, but there will be a wind chill there in the teens. So definitely out of their element to that sense, which definitely favors the Packers, you know, a team that's used to playing not only in those conditions when we're talking about the cold, but the bigger piece is what is the field going to look like? They're probably, I don't know how, I'm not sure if the field crew is going to be so apt to hustle and push all that snow off the field. We saw that a few weeks ago on that Sunday night game against the Tennessee Titans, right? All the snow was on the field. And when you have a team that's used to playing in those elements, when it comes to their footing and knowing how to play and where to cut, receivers have the advantage in that aspect. And definitely for Green Bay, they're going to have an advantage in the passing game in this matchup.
Yeah, you mentioned the weather. It's something to keep an eye out for in both places, especially in Kansas City. There's rain potentially expected, could be a little bit of a factor. But when you look at these four quarterbacks, I'm not as concerned from a weather perspective. Aaron Rodgers has been in Green Bay a long time. Josh Allen played collegiately at Wyoming. Patrick Mahomes has been in Kansas City now this is his fourth year. Played in West Texas in Lubbock on the plains where it gets very windy. And, of course, Tom Brady. Well, I mean, he's Tom Brady. You don't have to say anything else. So, for me, from that standpoint, it's not going to be as much of a concern. The one thing that I'm looking at in these two matchups, and let's start with the Green Bay game, that's the earlier game, lines up to four. When I look at Tampa, including the postseason, they are 13-5, James, but they have two wins over teams with winning records. One was against Green Bay, who came off of a bye in week number six. I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to throw two picks again where you can rely on putting yourself in a situation where you get a pick six and return a ball deep into Packers territory. And the other thing is, when you look at Tampa, they benefited from three turnovers in the second half by the New Orleans Saints last week, which really propelled them.
Well, that, and you talk about the turnovers in that game in last week, that fumble by Cook, as they were driving, yeah. The Saints had a 7-point lead, middle of the third quarter, they're driving again after a 3-and-out from Tampa, and ready to go for the knockout. They get a big first down, Cook's running across the middle, across the 50, and that puts the ball on the carpet. There's always turning points in games, and sometimes it's turnover, sometimes it's not getting a third down conversion, whatever that might be. That was a huge turning point in that game, and you could really feel the momentum flip within that matchup. And now, looking back to the week six game that you talked about, that was a really weird scheduling quirk for both teams, right? Early bye for Tampa, or for the Packers. They had been rolling through the first 4 weeks, averaging about 38 points a game, so offensively they were clicking. And I think when you have that momentum, the last thing you want want to do is have that stopped with a buy. So they had an early buy up, and then I think from that standpoint, they jumped out to a 10-0 lead in that first quarter. We saw the little celebration. You know, Aaron Rodgers can be very confident, and obviously he should be because he's a tremendous player, but sometimes that arrogance can creep in, and I think he got a little lazy in that second quarter when you mentioned the back-to-back turnovers, one leading to a touchdown, and really flipped that game as well. But also for Tampa, too, they were coming off of a longer. They had lost that week earlier on that Thursday night game. Short week playing in Chicago. That's when Vita Vea broke his ankle. He will be back tomorrow. But, you know, they had much more time to prepare. So I think from a scheduling standpoint, definitely favored the Bucs in that matchup. And I think in this case here, obviously they're playing for everything. The one concern that I have is we know Tom Brady's acumen. He's in these conference championships every season, it seems like. I think this is his 14th or 15th trip to the conference title game. So he's used to being in these situations. And so is Aaron Rodgers now. This is his fifth trip. But they've lost the last three championship games that they've played in with Rodgers under center. So, and I think about last year's game. And it was obviously a completely different matchup. And San Francisco was clearly the better team. But what I didn't like about that matchup is when Green Bay fell behind, and they fell behind early, they just were really, I felt like they got kind of punched. They got pushed around, and they didn't really see a lot of fight back. They're a team, to me, that when they get ahead, they're in their comfort zone. If they fall behind, that's where I have some questions about their competitiveness. But in this case here, I kind of think this is going to be, in a sense, wire to wire for Green Bay to lead at the first half and ultimately move on to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, to your point, you're absolutely right. I thought the same thing in that matchup last year against San Francisco. They looked like they were completely disengaged when they fell behind early, didn't have much of a fight. You mentioned this is going to be their fourth championship game, really, in the last 7 years. It made it every other odd year, 15, 17, and 19, and 15 losing to Seattle 28-22. Then getting blown out in 2017 by the Atlanta Falcons, and you mentioned last year as well. The final score really wasn't probably as indicative of how the game wasn't even that close. It was 37-20. I thought that was probably a fairly accurate margin, if not larger, by San Francisco in their domination. But the difference is this time around, it's going to be at home. For me, the line at 4 becomes a little bit trickier, but I still like Green Bay. I like them at 3.5. It's not going to sway me against Green Bay at 4 because, again, if you were covering 3.5, worst case scenario, you're pushing on 4. So I like the Packers here. I'm just not a believer, and you brought it up, the Jared Cook turnover by the New Orleans Saints. I thought that was critical and crucial in that matchup last week. I think Green Bay's running game has really emerged. It's not just Aaron Jones. You also have A.J. Dillon back there. This is a team that can be very effective on the ground. I think they're much more balanced. Here's the other thing I make the point. I want to get your thought on this, James. If the name on the jersey didn't say Tom Brady for Tampa, how do you think people would view this game? Because to me, I think they're getting a lot of credit for Brady and his past history. The reality is I didn't think they played particularly well. I thought they could have put away Washington in the first round of the playoffs. Last weekend in the divisional matchup, you mentioned it, the Cook turnover. Look, it was funny to me that Drew Brees said he's going to contemplate retirement. For whom? Everybody, you couldn't throw the ball. I mean, that interception to Alvin Kamara, I mean, you could see there was no arm strength there. So for me, it's not like they beat great football teams. They beat a good New Orleans team. But now I think Green Bay, the way they've played the last several weeks of the season, this is just a completely different animal.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Amal. I totally agree. I've already bet the Packers. I took them at 3 a while back, so better number there. That's exactly like you said. The 4, that can be tricky. But I'm struggling to try. Yeah, take the name off the jersey with Tom Brady. Completely different matchup. But I think with the thing that Brady is going to bring and has brought to that team is a sense of confidence about them. And obviously his experience at the playoff level and winning the championships that he has. He's been there and done that. So I think even if they fall behind, he's going to have his demeanor will be there to where he'll be able to still have that confidence about him that will permeate to the rest of his team. But ultimately, as far as, you know, it is still a team sport. And being here on this matchup, I think the matchup is going to be the defensive side for Tampa. Are they able to consistently, we know what they're going to look like. We know Bowles is going to pressure those A-gaps, a lot of pressure fronts, and they're going to come after it. They have to. They can't let they can't let Aaron Rodgers get comfortable and sit back in that pocket. So confuse some coverages. My concern is when they do that, picking up that, if they're able to pick up that blitz, well, I think they're going to be prepared for that this time. That secondary is very young for Tampa. When they go nickel, those five starters, and Winfield's questionable right now, but those five starters typically in that nickel defense for Tampa, they have 11 years of experience in the NFL. So it's a very young defense, especially at the cornerback position. The other piece, too, is if we're talking about the running game for Green Bay, you talked about now it's a three-headed monster for them to pound the football at them, different styles that are coming at them, very physical run attack that it looks like at the line of scrimmage for Green Bay. I don't like the way that those corners run support either. They tackle the football. They're not very fundamentally sound when they wrap up carries, so I could see some yards after contact if they get around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be key in this one in terms of they can slow that down. They'll have a great opportunity. Let's go to the AFC now. You've got a Kansas City team, question marks surrounding Patrick Mahomes' health because he went out with an injury last Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Chad Henne came in, did a terrific job, particularly on third down and 14, scrambling for 13 and a half yards. They win the game there. I expected Mahomes to play. This is the AFC Championship game. I really didn't see a scenario in which he wouldn't be in the lineup now. Kansas City's a three-point favorite against Buffalo. Two terrific football teams. Buffalo has been on fire as well as Kansas City. I look at the Chiefs realistically as basically have been a 14-1 regular season team that last week of the season against the Chargers just kind of throw out the window. How do you see this matchup, and do you lean one way or the other based on the number at 3 and a total of 54?
Yeah, I've already bet the Chiefs at -3. I mean, it's love what the Bills have done all season long. I mean, such a maturation process for Josh Allen from 2 years ago coming in as a rookie and all the question marks about his accuracy. Well, a lot of times accuracy, he's obviously worked at his game, so good for the young kid to get in there and work at his game to get better. Also from, I think accuracy will also come from being able to read defenses more. And so there's some great coaching going on at that Buffalo Bills sideline, both on the offensive side as well as the defensive side, right? So with Frazier and McDermott, I mean, I didn't have these expectations for Buffalo coming in thinking that they were going to be in the AFC Championship game, so exceeded what I thought they would be at this point of the year, and testament to where that team is from a coaching standpoint and really the culture that McDermott is able to bring in over the last few years up there in Buffalo. So excited to see that going forward for them, but I think in this matchup here, regardless of the home field or lack of home field advantage when it comes to how many fans will be in the stands there at Arrowhead. Just I think the playmaking ability and the confidence that we've seen from Mahomes. I mean, talk about, he's another young player to them all, but it feels like now with Mahomes, he feels like this savvy veteran back there because now this is his third straight AFC Championship game. Really should have won that game 2 years ago if it wasn't D Ford lining up across the football. I mean, that game was pretty much in the bag for Kansas City too. So just looking at the experience level here and the confidence that they bring, and yeah, Mahomes, as far as his foot's concerned, probably not going to be anywhere close to 100%, but as somebody who can make all the throws, different arm angles, sometimes ambidextrous-wise and throwing with his left hand, it's just not a team that I can bet against right now, especially in this matchup. So just laying 3, I'm with the Chiefs.
Could not agree with you more myself. Absolutely right. We'll get it back into these matchups in a little bit. Want to quickly get you updated in college basketball right now. Some good matchups going on right now. Kansas on the road at the Lloyd Noble Center in Norman taking on the Sooners. Right now, KU leading 16-15. Good start if you've got this game over the total. 142.5 or so already. 31 points, 8.5 into that one. Also, Houston leading Temple right now 15-5 in the first half. That one at the Leo Cursus Center right now. Again, 11:54 to go there in the first half. UConn and Creighton just underway in Omaha right now. Connecticut leading 4-2 over Creighton. Remember, UConn is without Book Knight. That's going to be a huge blow for this team going forward, averaging about 20 points a game in the Big East. That's going to be something that they'll have to contend with the rest of the way. And in Syracuse right now at the Carrier Dome, it is the Orange leading Virginia Tech 12-10, 12:54 to go in the first half. We'll keep you posted on scores throughout college basketball. Want to get to the UFC tonight. Fight Night Island, which will actually be midnight Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific time. The main event, Dustin Poirier taking on Conor McGregor in the main event. Remember, this is in Abu Dhabi. This will take place at 9 a.m. there in Sunday morning. Poirier right now is at +240, McGregor -$3. If you like McGregor by submission, he's minus $2. McGregor by decision, plus +7. Poirier by submission is plus +475. Poirier by decision is at 6-1. And, of course, for a draw at 50-1. James, are you a guy that gets involved in the UFC? If you are, have you looked at this matchup or have you bet it?
I did bet it. I'm not a big UFC guy when it comes to my handicapping acumen. I rely on a number of our partners that we have here at VSiN to kind of lead the way with this one. But in this matchup here, I did take the only bet that I have so far is under 2.5 rounds. Obviously, all of these are juiced towards McGregor, so they're big numbers here. So if you're going to like lean towards that or go with that favorite side, it's going to be you're going to have to pay a premium for it. But in this case, I did bet the under 2.5 rounds at $1.85. I did that yesterday. We'll see where that continues to climb. But as far as anything else, I mean, it's so hard to go against McGregor. Although it was kind of interesting, you've seen the press conferences, and a lot of times McGregor really puts out, he's trying to sell tickets and get people pumped up and kind of has a disrespectful demeanor to his opponent. But I think in this case, they fought in the past. He was much more subdued, I think, which was kind of interesting here. But ultimately, I can't go against it. But I didn't want to lay that big number with McGregor, so I just bet the rounds under 2.5.
You're absolutely right. I think, you know what, he's gotten his money. He got that Mayweather fight. He's become the marquee man in UFC. Now it's more concentrating on fighting. Sometimes you need to be able to hype these matches up in order to be able to put yourself in a position to cash in on it, and he has done a tremendous job of that. You really have to give him credit. He's about as good of a marketer as we've seen, whether it be in UFC or in boxing or anywhere else. Just to be able to put yourself in a position where people recognize your name just outside of your sport. He's become a global brand, a global icon. So to his credit, really done a terrific job. Want to tell you, if you're betting live in-game action and if you love it, got a great opportunity for you, then download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up to the second information that you need. This is going to make a difference in terms of your betting. Gives you real-time betting, live in-game odds and stats, in-game tracking tools. So all of it right there. Sign up right now at oddstrader.com. When we come back, the main bookmaker here at the South Point, Chris Andrews, is going to join us. We're going to get into the NFL. Find out where the money's coming in. Is it going to benefit you? Which way do you look at? Do you look at a side or a total in this one? That's all next here on the Pregame Show. Race of 21 is today, the Pegasus World Cup, and VSiN and First Bet are teaming up for expanded coverage plus an exclusive offer for VSiN fans. First Bet is offering a risk-free $20 bet to use on today's race at Gulfstream Park. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details. You'll also find best bets from VSiN and First Bet experts, including Brent Musburger, Jeff Siegel, and Dave Tooley. That's VSiN.com/horses. Sign up now for a completely risk-free $20 wager to bet on today's Pegasus World Cup. Joining us by phone right now is the head bookmaker here at the South Point, Chris Andrews. Chris, I got to think that you guys got the ideal matchup from a betting perspective when you look at the two conference championship games. You've got Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. You've got Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, the one seed. And then in the AFC, the top two seeds. I don't think it could have gone any better from your perspective.
No, the only other team you could have thrown in there was the Saints. But I think that this is absolutely the first of all, I think it's the four best teams in the NFL, and you got great drama with an upstart quarterback in Josh Allen, two old war horses in Brady and Rodgers, and the guy who most consider the best quarterback in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes. So it is a dream matchup for us.
Hey, good morning, Chris. So let's talk about those numbers. A couple things first. Let's jump to the Kansas City game. I think we all suspected as bettors and casual sports fans, too, that Mahomes was going to be available and play in this game. And it really been sticking at three for most of the week. But then once that news came out, we did see some 3.5s tick up in favor of the Chiefs. How quickly did you have to move on that line, and where do you currently sit with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, we're sitting at 3. We did have to go to 3.5, though. We got an awful lot of money in on the Chiefs once it was declared that Mahomes would be the quarterback. But I'm kind of like you. I thought all week he was going to be the quarterback. So to me, this was not a news flash that should have affected the number. But, you know, you got to go with the money at some point. And, yeah, we were, pretty high on the Chiefs, you know, a good 6 figures high on the Chiefs when I finally moved it. And, of course, Jimmy posted that ticket, one lucky bettor who I happen to know, and he's been a good customer for years. He came in and he bet us $100,000 on the Bills plus the 3.5. So he got a hell of a number. But like I said, I'm not sure I would have given it to just anybody that walked up to the counter. But he's been playing with us for years, and, he wound up with a great number. But right now we're pretty even on the game. I don't think I'm going to have to move off the 3 again. But, you know, money will dictate. We'll see what happens.
Chris, this game got put out late Sunday night in terms of the matchup and the spread. I was a little bit surprised with the questionable status of Patrick Mahomes, but I'm like you. I thought for sure Mahomes was going to play. Didn't see a scenario in which he would be held out of this matchup. Where were you guys at in terms of if Mahomes didn't play? What would the number have potentially have been?
Well, I think, you know, I'm just speaking for myself. Sure. There's a lot of people that disagree with me, but I think Buffalo would have been about a 1.5 or 2 point favorite without Mahomes. And I think it's one of those things where I could argue both sides of that issue, which to me makes it a good number. Some guys think it should have been a lot higher, but I know what Andy Reid has done with backup quarterbacks over the years. I mean, he's been like a magician with guys who, you know, have not exactly had stellar careers. They were with Matt Moore last year. They were 2-1 with Matt Moore when Mahomes was out, and they had very good numbers. When he was with Philly, won a lot of games with, you know, Jay Feely, Coy Detmer. He had Jeff Garcia, who was a real good quarterback in his day, but Garcia was at the end of his career at that point. But he really can do well with a backup quarterback, and there's plenty of talent on this Kansas City team besides Mahomes. So I could have gone either way, which, again, in my mind, makes it a good number.
Hey, Chris, so can we jump to the totals for a second? I'm usually one that likes to bet the under and big games, and in this case here, I don't know if I'm going to get ahead of that Kansas City Chiefs and team and that Bills matchup and bet the under, but these numbers, as far as the totals are concerned, are continuing to tick up. Where do you sit right now with the totals, and where do you anticipate those numbers being come close to kickoff?
Well, the Green Bay total has just continued to tick up, and I'm looking right now. I'm the only 52.5 that I see out of any of the big places. But, you know, we're still really high on the over. So I'd love to see somebody come in and bet me the under there. Now, the Chiefs game, that's kind of sneaking up too. But, you know, the original volley was here on the Chiefs game under. So I'm in pretty decent shape there. Although I think we'll get a lot of over money between now and post time. But, you know, we're used to that by now. So,
Chris, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so very much. And if you haven't picked up his book, you got to check it out. Author of Then One Day, an excellent read if you're into sports betting. And it's not just about sports betting, but the idea of kind of what goes on behind the scenes. I think you'll really enjoy it. Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, you guys. Have a great day. Great weekend. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll get back into the AFC and NFC championship games. That's next. VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our Point Spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. James, we just talked to Chris Andrews, the main bookmaker here at the South Point. He was talking about how they took a big bet on Buffalo at 3.5. For you, how much of a factor is this game sitting at 3 as opposed to 3.5? I thought really the number was going to be at 4 in favor of Kansas City. I thought this team has been dominant. I know they're 0-7-2 against the spread in their last 9, but if you look at those last 9 games, never did you feel in any of those matchups they were at risk to lose the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's where we're looking at that for the, you know, it's the NFL. It's not college football for the Chiefs. They're not worried. They weren't worried about style points all season long. They knew ultimately their goal was to get right back to the Super Bowl, which they're one game away from doing. And you know, when they were, some of these games they had really big leads in. And I think kind of not only offensively kind of started to scale some things back, but I think defensively that's the concern with the Chiefs team overall. There's holes on every team. And I think for the defensive side, there's some flaws at the linebacker position, and you can also run on that football team. And I think that's where, you know, they weren't always able to keep some of those big leads and kind of maybe a little softer on the defensive side. But as far as their ability and their confidence to win games, I think that's just it. We saw that in the playoffs last year. Even if they get off to a slow start, and they may do that tomorrow as well, they're not a team that's going to get rattled. We definitely learned that from them last year in the playoffs, falling down 24-0. To Houston, also falling behind Tennessee, and then ultimately coming back in the Super Bowl. You know, they were down 10 points, roughly 8-9 minutes to go in that fourth quarter to San Francisco, and came out and obviously won the football game. So this is not a team that's going to get rattled, and I think they really take on the persona not only of Andy Reid and the coaching staff, but also Mahomes. I mean, he is as cool as a customer as you're going to find out there when it comes to even making bad plays. The kid doesn't lose confidence, and it really just flows to the rest of that team.
Yeah, to your point, if you look at Kansas City and the domination that they've had, Mahomes did not play in week 17, game 16 against the Chargers, but he has had a dominant record as a starter in this league, and what Kansas City's been able to do overall in the regular season. They've gone 38-10, 4-1 in the postseason. I feel like if Kansas City's got a turnover or two, James, they can overcome it. But I'm not sure Buffalo will be able to do that on the road in this spot. I'm not really concerned about the result we saw. I think it was in week number 6 with Buffalo and Kansas City, where the Chiefs won that game by 9 points. To me, this is a different Josh Allen. He is playing probably the best he's ever played in his career. Even though he played well throughout the second half of the season, I think right now he's at the apex. But I still favor Kansas City in this game. The 3 doesn't concern me as much. I like Kansas City here in this particular matchup. Want to get back to the NFC. Tom Brady in Tampa, you mentioned it earlier in the show, that those turnovers, and I hate to harp on it, but that Cook turnovers changed the whole game. James, they were 10 yards away from getting into Will Lutz field goal range. They're going to probably go up 10. Will Lutz is like Harrison Butker. That's the one thing that scares me in the Kansas City game. Harrison Butker, inside of 33 yards, he's probably going to miss it. You go outside of 34 yards or greater, don't worry about it. It's 3 points on the board. But to me, in this matchup, you can't necessarily rely on Green Bay making those types of mistakes. And I feel like a guy like Aaron Rodgers, as great of a career as he's had, he might be playing the best football of his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think he may be the front runner for MVP this season. And as far as just where they're at right now offensively, I think that's what we've seen from the last handful of years with Aaron Rodgers being in these situations. It's been all on his shoulders, and it will come down to him having to make some throws, obviously, tomorrow. But the fact that they can run, I think they were very intentional about this, especially the last few weeks, once they finally got fully healthy at the running back position, that they wanted to have some balance on offense. It's not so much to take any pressure off of Aaron Rodgers, but it sure helps when you have the ability in short yardage. So whether it's third down and third and 3, you have the ability to run the football and move the chains, as well as getting into the red zone, in particular inside the 10 or even inside the 5-yard line. When you have the ability to be physical up front and you can pound the football in with your running game, it just opens up the playbook for now you've got the defense on their heels. And in this case, I think Green Bay has been very intentional about getting that running game going, putting it out there for that lineman. Plus, linemen want to get out there and pancake folks anyway instead of dropping back into pass protection 40 40-plus times a game. I think that's really going to be advantage for the Green Bay Packers going into this matchup. And right now, sitting at the 3, to me, that's a great number to get Green Bay at home the way that they're playing football right now. And then Aaron Rodgers, anytime you need to have a big play made, he's going to be capable of getting that done.
James, when you look at the matchups in both games, is there one particular unit you see, whether it be the Kansas City offense against the Buffalo defense, or the, you know, vice versa, or the Buffalo offense against the Kansas City defense, that you think, and same thing in the NFC side, where one unit has a distinct advantage over the other unit?
Yeah, I'm like we talked about earlier, Mal. I just still struggle trying to figure out what is Tampa going to be offensively, and not that Green Bay's got this tremendous defensive unit. I think there's definitely holes. You can make throws. You can run the football at Green Bay as well as make throws in the middle of the field. I think their linebackers are definitely suspect when it comes to pass coverage. There's opportunities there, but what are we going to see out of Tampa Bay tomorrow? That's just my question mark right here. There's so many props out there that are available, and when I try to play props, I try to put together what does the game plan look like. Is it going to be put the ball in Brady's hands and let him go take us to the Super Bowl, or is it going to be we've got both of our running backs healthy again and let's be a little more physical up front and bang the football at them? Because I think they also know that you can't just put it all on your, even though Brady's got the pedigree as a champion, you still can't put it all on their shoulders to have to make every single play. So I think that's just, for me, when we're talking about who's got the advantage, I don't know if it's so much the advantage for Green Bay, Amal, on the defensive side. It's just, for me, I still just not comfortable with what the identity of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is at this point.
Yeah, I love the unit that you picked, that Tampa offense against the Green Bay defense, because I have question marks about this team consistently throughout the course of the season. Yes, we know Brady's great, and they've got immense talent. Just because you've got great talent doesn't necessarily mean it translates. You know, Chris Godwin has not played particularly well in the postseason. Rob Gronkowski has been a bit MIA throughout. Mike Evans is going to have an opportunity. But you're going up against one of the top cornerbacks now in the NFL in Jaire Alexander. First team All-Pro. You can make the case him, Xavier Howard, and Jalen Ramsey are probably the top three corners in the National Football League. So for me, it's not going to be simple for Tampa, as you alluded to. It's going to be a real challenge in this matchup. I love the way Green Bay is playing offensively, the running game complementing the passing game. And then Devontae Adams is a guy we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yep.
Best receiver in the National Football League in 2020. I think he should be able to have a very effective day against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but should be making for a very intriguing conference championship game in the NFC. When we come back, we'll get into the NBA. But take a look at the Brooklyn Nets. Let's see what the Flat Earther is up to. I know he had a great game last night, but is this team going to win when he's on the floor? That's next. Then download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Want to give you some scores in college basketball right now. Tell you what, you might be suffering a tough beat if you had the over in the Kansas-Oklahoma first half. They got off to a fast start in this one. They wind up at halftime right now. Oklahoma leading 29-28. If you're looking at betting the second half, the game just went to the break about 3 seconds ago, literally. So Kansas right now really struggling to score. They jumped out to 16 points early in the first 5 minutes, only managed 12 points the final 15 minutes of the half. At the Carrier Dome right now, it's Virginia Tech leading Syracuse 31-29, 3 minutes to go before halftime. In Omaha, it's Creighton leading UConn 23-13, 6.5 to go in the first half. And I got to tell you, team, maybe you don't pay attention to the American that closely, but take a look at the Houston team. This Cougars basketball team under Kelvin Sampson playing terrific basketball. Just one loss in the year at Tulsa, which is always tough when you go on the road against Frank Haith's team. They lead right now in Philadelphia 34-19 with less than a minute to go before halftime. They were laying 12 on the road. Great opportunity to be able to cover this game. Going to shift gears a little bit from college basketball to the NBA. Intriguing matchup coming up tonight between the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. James, this to me is a team that, with Brooklyn on paper, is outstanding, should be the class of the Eastern Conference. But when James Harden and Kevin Durant are on the floor, I love this team. But when Kyrie Irving gets in the mix, I just can't figure it out. Last night in Cleveland, they lose the second straight game against the Cavaliers. Irving has a terrific game statistically, but it's his shot selection, the amount of shots he takes. I mean, I get it. He's better than 50% from the floor, better than 40 from three, and he missed one free throw in the year. He's 32 for 33, 97%. But it just seems like he's one of these guys that's always going to put up stats, but you're never going to win with him. Is he a case of what we saw in Cleveland with the Browns? They got better when OBJ went out?
Yeah, well, I think he's obviously Irving coming back. Now, that's the beauty of props, right? If you're looking at just betting a player and getting his touches and putting the ball in the basket, Irving is definitely capable of that. These first two games since coming back, since his little hiatus for a few weeks, he's had 54 shots. He scored 75 points, but he's not passing the ball. He's got 8 assists in those two games along with 6 turnovers, and I think that's the hard part, right? You talked about with Harden. Harden's actually been distributing the basketball and had double-digit assistance he's gotten to Brooklyn, but I think from this standpoint here offensively, you know, it's hard when you have ball dominant players, and it's been interesting to see Harden share the ball the way that he has, and I think he's trying to find a way to coexist on the offensive side. But where's Kyrie's head? I think that's the thing, is on the floor, off the floor, you never quite know where his focus is, and he has obviously the ability to put the ball in the basket from all three levels on the court, but in this sense here, I think it's going to be that maybe they'll work their way through it. I suspect they will, especially with Harden and KD especially. He's going to have that presence as far as being a champion and knowing what it takes to win. Maybe settling those things down, but that's the challenge right now, is how do these guys coexist? There's only one basketball on the court of all out of those five players. The other part with the Nets, too, is because of the trade, they weren't very deep to begin with. You know, Dinwiddie got hurt early in the season. He's gone for the year. Very thin, so not a whole lot of experience or depth on that bench, and we've seen that kind of play out. We saw it in the double overtime loss to the Cavs the first game, really just ran out of steam. I think that's going to be a challenge for them going throughout, not so much throughout the season, but when you get into those playoff matches and their 7-game series, those become a grind, and you need to have some productivity off the bench. I think that's what's going to cost the Nets ultimately when they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a strong possibility there. This matchup right now, Miami is a 7-point road dog. No Jimmy Butler in the lineup due to COVID. Obviously, Myers Leonard and Tyler Hero still out for this team as well, and as well as Avery Bradley. Kevin Durant will be back in the lineup tonight. Remember, he sat out. He played about 50 minutes in the overtime game against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday. Didn't play last night. Should be an intriguing matchup. Want to go to another game in the NBA right now. Lakers at 12-4 get a good win against Milwaukee on Thursday. They now take on the Chicago Bulls, who they defeated at Staples Center earlier this year, 117-115 on January 8th. To me, when I look at this matchup, Lakers are 9.5-point favorite. That seems like a big number, because the Lakers were a similar number, maybe a little bit higher, I think, when these two teams met about 2 weeks ago, James. So for me, this is one where I'd be looking at the home Bulls here.
Yeah, I agree too. And maybe play the first half at +5.5. You know the Lakers, they're going to get every team's best shot, and the Bulls being a very young team. I think that, I thought when Donovan took over at with the Bulls, there was a lot of questions. Why is he going to want to go there? Donovan's a teacher. You know, he was a college coach for decades, and part of being a college coach is, yeah, recruiting is a part of it, but you want to teach. You love the game of basketball, and you want to teach young men how to play. So I think it's a great fit for Donovan being there with the Bulls. Since Markkanen came back the last couple games, you know, now you've got that stretch five that can shoot the basketball. You're going to get a great effort out of the Bulls. Anytime you're playing the champions, right, they're going to get everybody's best shot. I think for the Lakers, they've been 8-0 on the road so far, and I think that's right. What's interesting right now is they've got such a level of focus going on these road trips. You don't have all the hoopla that you normally would, you know, because we're in the pandemic, that most championships teams do when they travel, especially when you're traveling traveling out east and you're playing in the other conference, we're only going to make that trip out there to those arenas one time. I think that's obviously been a benefit for the Lakers. But it all, to me, it all starts with LeBron James, and that's not about offense. It's about defense. When he's really a tone setter for them, when they come ready to play and they want to play, it starts on the defensive end, and it all is predicated with LeBron James and the effort he puts forth. The rest of his teammates follow. But in this case, I kind of agree, Amal. It's a big number. I don't know how engaged the Lakers are going to be in this game. So I could see the 9.5, and I kind of like the first half as well, plus the 5.5.
Yeah, and also when you look at the Lakers had what was kind of a playoff matchup against Milwaukee, an opportunity to really kind of show something to Milwaukee, yep. And they did the great job of that on the road the other night. Now you've got a, what I would consider a little bit of a letdown spot against the Chicago Bulls here. Want to shift to a game in Phoenix tonight between the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns in this matchup. Phoenix comes in at 8-6, gotten off to a pretty good start. Denver at 8-7. James, you live in Denver. The Nuggets are 2.5-point favorite here on the road. What's going on with this team? I get they're 8-7, which is, you know, okay, it's fine. But this is a team that probably should be better than that. Jokic just had a good year, averaging almost 26-11. But it just seems like they're a little bit off the mark. What do you make of this team?
Well, they're trying to integrate some different pieces, right? The bench players are completely different than what they had last year. You know, they lost Plumlee. They lost Jeremy Grant, now is in Detroit, being the focal point of that offense. So bringing back Will Barton, the one piece that was not there in the bubble and that really that spectacular playoff run that we saw the Nuggets get all the way to the finals with, or the conference finals with, was Will Barton was not a part of that team. He was injured, so he did not play at all in the playoffs. And I think trying to get him back integrated, there was questions whether he was going to start, was he going to come off the bench, and they were going to start Michael Porter Jr. And Barton didn't take, he wasn't too kind with that. So they've had some internal struggles in the locker room and working through the rotation. So there's been some issues there, as well as Jamal Murray. He's had an elbow injury since the start of the season. So he's been nursing that, starting to get a little better. We're starting to see him be a little more aggressive. But I also think, too, that energy and effort that they put forth in that bubble going and making the comebacks in those two series the way that they did, it took a lot out of them. And, you know, it's been a weird turnaround when you're talking about playing basketball at NBA Finals in October and then turning around and the season starts come mid-December. I don't think they had the offseason to really get themselves prepared and work in some of the new pieces that they've had to do. But you pointed out with the Joker, he's been absolutely spectacular. And it starts on that. We know his ability to pass the ball. He's basically averaging a triple-double right now, but really it started on his defensive end. He was really in shape coming into the bubble. He's in great shape now, and he wasn't really engaged fully on the defensive side and his post-defense. He's been tremendous down there, and we saw that last night too, making some good plays inside, both offensively and defensively. Looking at this matchup tonight though, Amal, not sure if Devin Booker's going to play. We see how the Suns really settle for a lot of threes. They took 44 threes last night, but no Booker. I mean, maybe that frees up some other guys, because really Booker dominates the basketball, but he went down hard in that overtime, did not finish the game. Don't suspect he plays. Not sure what I'm going to do with this game. Maybe a stay away tonight.
Yeah, and to your point, he played 40 minutes last night, did have 31 points, but he is a guy that to me, it's you know, when you look at him, you don't necessarily think, hey, this is going to be a guy that stands out. Just has a knack for scoring the basketball, as we've seen, really having a great season, averaging 23 points a game. But you're absolutely right. Something to pay attention to. If Booker can't go, I think we'll see a further uptick in this line to 3 or 3.5, maybe even as high as 4. So if you're looking at betting that one, keep an eye on that one. Want to throw one college basketball game out at you. Louisville hosting Duke today in Louisville. It'll be 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific time. The line was 2.5 when I checked it last. I was surprised this number is this low. James, to me, Duke is getting a lot of credit for being Duke, the name on the jersey. I don't think this is that good of a basketball team.
Well, and that's what we've seen the transition for Duke over the last, what, decade or so, where it's become more of these one-and-done type players. Great ability to recruit tremendous talent, but it's hard to put all those pieces together, especially when this talent coming in is another type of player that's used to playing with the ball in their hands and don't really understand how to play without it. And it's hard to mesh those players. And you see sometimes they get better. We see that with Kentucky, too. But with Duke, with the offseason, not having an ability to really practice and a lot of offseason work together. It's been a struggle all season long, and we've seen a number of teams struggle with that. The only concern I have with the Cardinals is they had their own bout of COVID as well, trying to get back and who's going to be available. So I think we've kind of seen that with a number, obviously with a lot of programs this season dealing with COVID and how do they come back. You know, the other night really just got stomped on by Florida State. Florida State dominated that game from tip off to close. But I do. I favor the Cardinals in this matchup as well, because right now Duke's just a collection of talent that really hasn't been able to put pieces together, and not a whole lot of practice time either. So yeah, I'm leaning towards Louisville in this matchup as well.
Yeah, I like this number of 2.5, as high as 3. I think you should be comfortable with taking the Cardinal in this particular matchup between these two teams. That's going to wrap it up for us here on the pregame show. I want to thank James Salinas, who I've worked with all season long. I want to thank our producer, Stephanie, Book, Jeremy, and Tom. All of these people have done a fantastic job, really putting up and dealing with me here in studio. James, they're fortunate. You know, you're in Denver there, but really appreciate everything, my friend.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see your show on Monday. I'm just wondering who's going to play referee, because I don't want to see you and the mayor try to bite somebody's kneecap off.
Absolutely right. Betting Across America is next. We're not going to go full Dan Campbell.